Hi, my name's Jeremy. I'm an alcoholic and addict.
Hi, Jeremy.
I guess I volunteered for this. But I guess it's a good thing because it's something I think is important to get back and to share. My home group is Tuesday Beginners. We meet here on Tuesday afternoons. A little bit about myself. I've been in a very nostalgic mood for the past few weeks. I'm coming up on my 15-year anniversary of being HIV positive, which plays into my story of sobriety. It's my first contact with Alcoholics Anonymous was in 1994 when I was diagnosed and told I was going to die and I should kiss my ass goodbye and count my blessings and it's all over. And I happened to go through rehab at the same time, so it was interesting getting sober in that time period. Now looking back, how crazy it was, and how sick people were, and people were dying left and right, and I was in the middle of this in a rehab, washing ashtrays and making coffee, and it kept me sober. And I have to say, my first year of sobriety was a real chore. I used to go to a meeting at the rehab every day at noon. And old-timers would sit in the back of the room and they would place bets to see how soon the newcomers would go back out. And my first year of sobriety wasn't so much working the steps or doing anything. It was going to meetings and proving the old-timers wrong. And I remember when I got my year of sobriety and I got my chip, there was a sense of I had proved them all wrong. And that was really the wrong attitude to take, but that's the way it was. So I lived, and I got past that 18-month period, and I had to figure out what to do next because I was supposed to die and now I was still alive. And I was sober. And I went to meetings. I spoke. I had some rough times in early sobriety. People didn't want to hear my voice, didn't want to hear my story. I remember walking into a meeting one night and there was about 500 people in the meeting, and I said the word AIDS and 300 of them got up and walked out. Mm-hmm. And at the end conveniently asked me not to come back to AA, that was not my place. So I found another meeting to go to. Mm-hmm. But I worked and I stayed sober. I did a lot of meetings. And it was 4 years I had stayed sober, and I had worked my steps and I was filling all those compartments in my life that were empty. And I got to the point where I was missing one component in my life, and that was, relationship or love or whatever. And I pulled a geographic at 4 years of sobriety, and I moved 1,000 miles from home. And on the other end, when I got out of the moving truck, someone handed me a joint and a beer. I took a drag and I took a drink. And that was 2.5 years of hell. And I had set myself up for that slip. I went looking for it, and when it presented itself to me, I took it. I didn't think twice about it. Who's going to see me? Who's I'm in the middle of nowhere. No one's going to know. But I knew. And I didn't do a whole lot of drugs when I was drinking, because drugs were too expensive, and I would rather spend money on alcohol than drugs, because that wasn't my deal. My mother was a pharmacist, so I knew how to get them if I wanted them, but didn't impress me until I slipped and I went down the road and I became a pothead. I started doing cocaine and popping pills, and it got really nasty. And I found myself in a place that was really detrimental to my health, and I was using with other people, and one night one of my friends came in off of a bender and tried to kill me because he had no cigarettes left. And the police came and took me away and sent me to a safe house, and I was all beat up, and took me a month to recover in a safe house in the middle of Iowa. Someone knew where I was and had found out where I was, and when the police contacted them, they came and took me away. And I, for that month when I was recovering, I didn't drink and I didn't use. And after that, you know, that little brush with death, it was pretty heavy. So I took a bus back to Miami, where I was living when I first got sober. And I started drinking again. And I was drinking to fit in. I was drinking to be one of the crowd. And on Miami Beach, you drank because everyone else drank. And everyone was pretty, and everyone went to the beach. And I was 36 years old, and I wanted to be 21 again. And the best way to do that would be to drink. And by that point, I wasn't drinking every day. I was binge drinking. And I had been given a place to live. I was given a job. And it was serendipitous about what had happened and how I got sober the second time. I was working for a member and didn't know he was a member. And Saturday, I would work all week, and Saturday night, I would get to Saturday night, and I would take $100 to $150, and I'd go to the club, and, you know, clubs were one night a week. It wasn't every night, it was just Saturday night. And my friends would do their drugs, and I would drink my alcohol, and I would black out. And the blackouts got worse, and I found myself on street corners in the middle of nowhere. I used to drink and get drunk and fall down, and someone would load me in a taxi and end up home, and I'd wake up the next morning and not know how I got home or who put me in a taxi or where the rest of my money went or how much I had drunk. And it was funny, I'd go to work Sunday morning and I'd be green and I'd be pissed off, hungover, and my friends would call me at work to tell me what I had done the night before. And that got to be really, really hairy. And then September 11th happened, and Miami Beach came to a screeching halt. Nobody knew what to do. No one knew what to say. All the bars shut down, and the city went sober for 14 days. We had vigils on the beach. You know, no one wanted to bar hop at that point. Everyone was in this mourning period for 2 weeks. And everyone got sober really, really quickly. And had that stuck, I would have been sober September of 2001. But after 14 days of mourning, the city said we had to do something to help New York. And what's the best way to do it was to raise money through alcohol. So the bars opened up, and we were giving money hand over fist. You know, matching donations at the door. If you give $50 at the door, you can drink your matching $50 worth of alcohol. And we were drunk. The city was drunk for 3 or 4 months after that. And I was coming to the end of my drinking, and I knew I was coming to the end because I had one night drank enough alcohol to kill me. And I ended up in a taxi, and I got home. I don't remember how I got home. And like any good alcoholic, I said 3 prayers in succession. The first prayer was, I want a hangover that I'm not going to forget, which happened. I went to work one Sunday morning, and I was so sick, and I was so fed up of trying to compete and be 21 that I couldn't hack it. I was killing myself, but I didn't die, which was really strange, you know. The second prayer I said, you know, if God wants me to get sober, he's going to put an alcoholic in my path. And I was working in an antique shop from my boss, who was a member, but I didn't know this then. And this young man came and applied for a job, and I hired him in the store. And every week he would come in and he would say, "I don't drink." I would clap my hands, and yeah, it's nice. And that went on for 5 or 6 weeks, you know. He didn't drink. I was very happy for him. But it wasn't adding up for my head. And finally, you know, I said that last prayer was to get me to a meeting. And it was a particular Friday. We were making an antique run to a dealer to deliver some furniture. And he said to me, he said, "I'm coming up on my year anniversary. Would you like to come to a meeting with me?" 1, 2, 3. That was my sign from God. And, you know, December 9th, 2001, I put down the drink and I took my beginner's chip and I hit my first meeting. And I'd be lying if I told you I was not ashamed, I was not afraid. I was terribly self-conscious because here I was getting sober in the same city I had gotten sober the first time. And all my friends who were sober and had maintained their sobriety would see me, would find me somewhere in some dive hole, you know, on the beach and see me drink or see me getting sober, because when I got sober I was not pretty. And so I found an out of the way meeting tucked away in this little church, and I hid there for a month, sobering up and, you know, getting my feet back into the program. And so I thought I was safe. And what I didn't think about was that AA in a big city, you know, people travel from one end of the city to another to do meetings. And by the time I realized that my friends knew I was sober, it was Christmas. And I went to a midnight meeting on a Christmas Eve, that 2001, and I walked into a room like this, and 50 of my friends were there in this candlelight meeting, and they all clapped their hands, and I walked in, and I was so self-conscious and so ashamed that I had gone out, because I thought that I was going to be sober forever, that I was invincible, and I wouldn't pick up a drink. And no one had a bad word for me. No one, you know, no one shrugged their shoulders or looked down their nose at me, and they helped me get sober again. And that was one of the most incredible things in sobriety. The second time was a gift. And New Year's rolled around, and I actually was at a meeting. We had a midnight meeting that New Year's Eve. And I stayed sober through the holidays. And a few months later, I came to Montreal and to visit for Easter. And I liked Montreal so much, I called my boss back in Miami and said, "I'm going to stay for another week." And in those 2 weeks, I found a doctor. I found a place to live. I was going to meetings around the clock. I was hitting them morning, noon, and night. I went back to Miami, packed everything I had, and moved to Montreal. And I came to this room, in fact. This was my first meeting in Montreal at Tuesday Beginners. And, you know, I got sober. And this time I pulled a geographic in sobriety. But I did it the right way, I think. Because I did the legwork. I got myself my meeting booklet. I met people in the program. I was counting my days of sobriety. And I'm still alive. And so I got involved in a step group. I did my steps. I do that every year. I do a 17-week intensive and work my steps. I do service at my home group. I mentor young people. In sobriety, I went back to university at age 36, and I graduated with a degree before my 40th birthday, which was last year. And I got married, and I had children. And, you know, sobriety, I could not have imagined that you would have told me back then that everything that would have happened happened, and I'd still be alive to see it and be sober. And I'm nostalgic, and I've been sitting, you know, writing on my blog about how things have changed and how I've grown up and how different things were. And, you know, out of the 165 people that were diagnosed, I'm the only one that's still alive. And I have no clue why. So I show up to a meeting and, you know, I share what I'm asked to share and I do what I need to do. And you know, sometimes it's not easy. And, you know, I have to stay in the moment. I have to stay in my day. And it took me a year, the second time in sobriety, when I got sober and I had this list from God, you know, God, I'm sober now, so you're going to grant me this and this and this and that, and I want this and I want that, and this is supposed to happen. And I would come to this room and I would piss and moan and I would cry, and the first year it was just really rough. And one by one, God would look at my list of demands and he'd go, no, 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 not, absolutely not, maybe tomorrow. And it took me a year how to learn how to stay in my day. And I worked on that for a year. And all those slogans, we used to have, we put slogans back up there. But I learned what all those slogans meant, and I was going to meetings. And I always imagined that at 7 years of sobriety, I would be eloquent and I would know the steps and I would have the litany. And I've heard there was a woman who was sober who used to come and do step meetings for us where I got sober. And she was the most eloquent woman I've ever heard. And I used to say to myself, someday I'd be eloquent as she is and I would know how to share like someone else. And, you know, 7 years, I'm still here, and I'm trying to figure it all out. But, you know, by the grace of God and the fellowship of AA, I haven't had a drink since December 2001. Thanks.